In August of 2000, my parents were celebrating their anniversary, and they invited their kids to celebrate with them. Very generous parents in Chicago. And we got to bring, Jenny and I were newly married, and then my sister was dating, and my brother was dating, so we all went to Chicago. And one of my memories from that weekend was going up in what I call the Sears Tower. If you don't know what that is, sorry. But we were in the Sears Tower, and we went up to the observation deck, and there was a man acting kind of strange. He appeared to be from the Middle East, and he was taking pictures, and he didn't seem to speak English, but he was pointing at Jenny and I, and he was pointing us in front of different windows and taking pictures and pointing us in front of others, and we were really confused by it. At the time, I think I chalked it up to we were just a couple of good-looking people, you know, the models, you know. But then, a year later, September 11th happened, and we thought about our time in Chicago. And years after September 11th, there was a guy who was with Al-Qaeda named Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And one of the things that he claimed, and his claims were suspicious, they didn't know whether or not to trust him, but that he was a mastermind in some of the plots. And there were plots to take down other buildings on September 11th. One of them, which included an office in Chicago. So when I heard about that, I had our memory of being in Chicago in the Sears Tower on August of 2000, and I thought, wow, wonder if we were in a picture that Bin Laden saw. Yeah, that's a thought. Yeah, so I don't know, but kind of setting that up here today on, what is it, the 21st anniversary of 9/11 2001, a day that really impacted the American psyche, one of the most historic events that we've had over the last 20 years, something that Americans remember and the world remembers. As we go into that, recognizing what today is, what comes to mind when you hear the word stranger? Danger! Latifah just said it. And that's what, you know, because when we were growing up as kids, that was one of the things, stranger, danger, you know, don't talk to strangers. And we could, you know, talk about strangers and different experiences that we've had. And that's one of the things that maybe comes to mind is danger. Be suspicious of other people. So as you think about that, what comes to mind with the word stranger? Perhaps you've had stories that have impacted you, maybe news stories, stories that you've read, stories that you've heard. Maybe you've had experiences. You've probably had some experience with strangers. Sometimes the experiences have been positive, sometimes negative. And sometimes the dangerous ones tend to stay in our minds. But today, recognizing that maybe our attitudes towards strangers are complicated, we are going to look today, we're going to tell a few stories about strangers, and we're going to look into a few of the things that the scriptures tell us about strangers. The first we're going to turn to is Hebrews 13, 1 through 2. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. So what keeps us from showing hospitality to strangers? I think one of the things I identified at the beginning is fear. Sometimes the stranger seems to be a danger to us. A stranger can seem to be threatening. I mean, I think back in the day, people would pick up hitchhikers, you know, thumb up. I wouldn't do that today. I don't know about you guys. But it just seems like something people don't do anymore. It seems like dangerous things that are just shouldn't invite a stranger into our car. So fear maybe is one of the things that we have that keeps us from showing hospitality to strangers, because perhaps the person that we're seeing may be a threat to us in some way, may bring us harm. In 2016, I remember we were my family was at a church in Frankfort, Indiana. And I remember after we made an announcement that we were going to be leaving Frankfort and moving to Indianapolis, there were some of the people who seemed to be really afraid, and a few of them pulled us over and said, "Hey, I'm just afraid you're going to get killed. I'm afraid you're going to be murdered." And I was, yeah, we were kind of thinking, well, Jimmy's from there, and we don't feel afraid when we're walking out in the streets. But, you know, the people that were so afraid of just the idea of living in Indianapolis had seen news stories. And to them, it seemed like a war zone if you live in Indianapolis or you're out in the streets of Indianapolis. So the different stories that we've heard, the news articles, they can make us afraid of strangers because we fear that maybe that person is the threat that is going to harm us in some way. What keeps us from showing hospitality to strangers? Maybe another thing is just too busy. I mean, some of us right now, we're just in a busy stage of life where it's just one thing to another. And who has time? I mean, we don't even have time enough for our loved ones. And there are other people that are waiting on us. And how to have time for strangers seems to be a stretch. Or maybe for some of us, it's inconvenient. If you do something for strangers, maybe it's going to be really costly. Maybe it's going to be inconvenient. Maybe it's going to be turned out to way more than we bargained for if we show hospitality to strangers. So why waste a Sunday on this, right? I mean, there's a great, maybe, you know, I think I've just made a great case for never showing hospitality to strangers. You could get hurt. It's probably going to be inconvenient. Probably don't have time to do it. Why waste even a Sunday on this teaching here, showing hospitality to strangers and not to forget it? Well, one reason is because we're gathered here together. We're a church, ecclesia, a gathering of people around Jesus and his life. And so we've come to proclaim the resurrection of Christ, his death, his resurrection, and we'll talk about what it means, what it looks like. We're encouraging each other to follow Christ and his teachings. And one of his famous stories so happens to be about showing hospitality to a stranger. And in the story, he uses a foreigner who was kind of to be feared by a lot of the people that he lived with, a Samaritan. And the Samaritan was the one who showed hospitality to a stranger. It was inconvenient. It was costly. And Jesus elevated the good Samaritan as doing the right thing because Jesus had a real famous teaching, which he said was at the heart of what he was talking about. Love God, all heart, mind, soul, strength. Love neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments, all the law and the prophets. So when he was asked, who is my neighbor? That was the story that he gave us. And now we know, like even people who've never been to church, don't know anything about Christianity, probably know something about the Good Samaritan. So it was really important for Jesus when he was teaching his followers about showing hospitality to strangers. And obviously, he has a really famous story about it. So this author of Hebrews who wrote this down isn't straying from Jesus' teaching. The author is really emphasizing what Christ taught us to do with strangers. But as we said, it's complicated. So let's go and read all of Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And right there, that's maybe a little bit strange to us, and we start to think supernatural or wings, or maybe some of us are picturing Roma Downing and touched by, you know, like angels. Like, what is that about? The first time that I was in the Rocky Mountains was with a youth group. I was in high school, and I just remember going to Estes Park and Rocky Mountain National Park, and us kids from Illinois were blown away by the Rocky Mountains. And I remember just having a heart full of worship and just being overwhelmed. And we were having this great time until my youth pastor started having a heart attack. Or at least it seemed like it. And there was just a bunch of kids and one lady who was older with us who was panicked too and didn't know what to do. And so I just remember, oh great, we're in the Rocky Mountains. Our youth pastor who's supposed to be taking care of us is having a heart attack. What do we do now? And I don't remember, it was a long time ago, so I don't remember all the details, but it seems like we, in panic, some of us just grabbed hands and started praying, God, help us. And somehow, from seemingly out of nowhere, a nurse showed up. And she was able to take care of him, get the ambulance called, and he went down the mountain in an ambulance, and he ended up being okay. And we got back to our place that night. We were telling our stories, real grateful that our youth pastor didn't have a heart attack, that he was okay. And as we were telling our stories, we started wondering about that nurse who showed up. And we didn't remember seeing where she came from, or we didn't know how she left. And so some of us started wondering, like, was that an angel? Now, I don't know. I just don't. That was a long time ago. I couldn't go back to the details, but I remember just that thought. And I couldn't tell you whether or not that woman who showed up, who happened to be a nurse at just the right time, was supernatural or not, or not, or human or not. But I'm pretty sure she was an angel. Someone who was sent at just the right time to help and bring good news and peace and help to a situation. Messengers, and when we look at the word angels, the Greek word that we have in the New Testament there, the word can also be translated as messenger. It's an angel is a messenger. And messengers can come in all different types of shapes and sizes. Sometimes I think they're surprising, as the author of Hebrews notes. Some people have shown hospitalities to angels without even knowing it. Hopefully today I'm a messenger, and hopefully you are too. But as we think about that and what it means to be an angel or entertain angels and strangers and all that, I want to go back to Jesus again. And he told another really famous parable. We call it the sheep and the goats. And he tells this story of judgment, and people are separated into sheep and goats. And they're divided based on how they reacted to strangers. How they reacted. Did they visit people in prison or not? What did they do for the least of these? And Jesus has this statement here in Matthew 25, 35, and talking about, giving us this story about judgment and sheep and goats. And this is one of the statements that he makes. Matthew 25, 35. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. And if you're familiar with the story, you may know how the sheep react. They say, when did we do it? I mean, which one were you? We didn't even know it. We were inviting you in unaware that it was really you. So there was some confusion. Which stranger? Who? When? What? Where? Which one was Jesus? When I hear Jesus' parable about the sheep and the goats, one of my thoughts is I should seek out strangers, right? I need to not ignore everybody. I need to seek out strangers. I think I'll switch mics. We're good here? All right. All right, so one of the things that comes to mind is, for me, I should seek out strangers. I need to be mindful of how I treat strangers. And I think that's fair and a good way to interpret the passage. But as I was wrestling with it this week, I wonder if maybe there's another angle in this story that Jesus is giving to. Maybe there is and maybe there isn't. But I was wondering about his role as a stranger and us inviting him in. Maybe part of the message is not just I should seek out strangers, but maybe part of it is when I feel like a stranger to God, maybe God is closer than I think. Maybe God is seeking me out in some ways. Maybe help is trying to seek me out and I just can't see it. It seems like a stranger. I feel alone. It doesn't seem like help is anywhere. But maybe it's trying to help me in some way that I'm just not aware of. Having said all that, we're talking about strangers. It is for sure wise to be cautious about strangers. So to be clear, I'm not saying pick up any hitchhiker. Let any stranger go hang out with your kids. Or if there's a guy in a van offering candy, to just go and say, all right, whatever. To be clear, I'm not. It's wise to be cautious about strangers, especially in the world that we live in. And Jesus taught caution too. Matthew 10:16, he said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. So there is this element that there is some danger in the world, that there are some things that are a threat to us, and we need to be aware of it. So he said to be shrewd about it, to have discernment, to use wisdom, because our relationship with strangers can be complicated, as all relationships are.
But to be shrewd, to be careful, to be cautious, but also to be innocent as doves. So there's this element of welcoming and kind and innocence and being, not being naive, but having some discernment. Knowing that not every stranger has your best interest in mind. And we can't just trust everybody, especially if the king of Nigeria sends us an email needing some money, right? We don't just trust him. Or if somebody calls us and our car is under out of warranty and it's an emergency, we don't just trust them, right? Yeah, you get them too, hey? So as we look at it, Jesus invites us to an adventure, and there is a little bit of an element of danger, but it's a good kind of a danger. It's an adventure. We'll point out to you in Matthew 10, Jesus says this. He also says, that's very relevant today, the kingdom of heaven is near. It's close. You may be surprised. It may be a lot closer than you think. And three times in Matthew 10, the way we've divided it, he says, do not be afraid. So recognizing, hey, be shrewd as snakes, but don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid of those who are against you. They're against me, they'll be against you sometimes too. But do not be afraid. Come to think about it, whenever an angel shows up in the scriptures, there's a pretty good chance their first words are going to be, do not be afraid. Over and over, God tends to send his messenger saying, do not be afraid. Last week, before we went out on our work project, I mentioned that our men's group the day before had talked about Jacob's stairway to heaven. And in that story where Jacob experiences the stairway to heaven, it says the angels are ascending and descending on that stairway as God's kind of coming down to him in a vision, in a dream. And then after Jacob wakes up, it says this in Genesis 28, 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. What if the presence of the Lord is in this place, and we're just not aware of it? What if there is somebody who's really going to be helpful, an angel of some sort, and the angel is near or God is near, and we just don't know it? What if the stranger around us that we see maybe is an angel? What if the person we think of as least of these really is Christ? What if? These what if possibilities. Now, I told you a few stories that are maybe a little bit exciting. Chicago one was kind of exciting, right? The Rocky Mountain one, a little bit. Now, this one's a boring story. Is that okay if I tell a boring story? One time I was walking down the road, and I smiled at someone, and I said hi. The end. Yeah, I'm getting applause. That was exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that one's happened way, way more times than anything like the Rocky Mountains or Chicago. That's a common story, and I've had far more good experiences with strangers than negative. But that one, that story that I just told to you, it is so boring that I don't even remember it. But you know who does? Somebody who was a perfect stranger at the time, and now is someone who told me that story later, and we've been married for 22 years. I didn't know. You never know. You might be greeting somebody who's an angel, and you're unaware of it, right? You just never know. You never know. So, as we think about what it means to follow Jesus and strangers and God's role and God is closer and God's help maybe is there in some place that's hidden for us for right now, but God is just so good and can be trusted, we're going to recognize relationships are complicated. Relationships with strangers, relationships with spouse, with kids, with parents, with friends, with coworkers, with people at church. Relationships are complicated. And that's why we follow Jesus. It's about relationships. He's helping us learn to love God wholeheartedly, love our neighbor as ourselves, and it's really difficult. So sometimes we struggle with the complications of relationships, but one thing is clear, and the call to follow Jesus is a call to love one another. Now, we may not agree on what it looks like to love one another. Sometimes we may have different ways that we think loving one another looks like. But it is very clear that following Jesus is a call to love one another as Christ loved his disciples. So we're called to love one another. That is very clear. So one potential application today is obvious. Consider how we can practice hospitality to strangers with our eyes open. But I want to go back again to this idea. If you feel like a stranger to God, maybe God seems distant, maybe it feels like God is just away from you. What if, even if you feel like a stranger, that Christ is seeking you out? That God is closer than you think, and he's coming for you, and help is somewhere, and it's just a matter of being able to recognize it and open the door and let him in. He's a stranger, but we can let him in. What if? So, if this morning, as we've been talking, and you have this desire to welcome Christ, and welcome Christ and follow him, we're just going to take a few quiet moments of silent prayer where we just spend some time talking to God one-on-one. Lord, hear our prayers. Amen. One of the beliefs that the church has, and the church is, again, the gathering of people around Jesus to celebrate the resurrection, to talk about following him, to encourage one another. One of our beliefs is that God is seeking us out, that heaven did come down to earth, that the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and he's been seen. So with that in mind, that God has come, that God is seeking us out, I want to close by listening to these words that Jesus wrote to a church that's now in modern-day Turkey about his role with the church. This isn't just people who are outside of the church. This was to the church. I think it's to all kinds of people. But Jesus says this in his letter to a church of people. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen, as it is written in your God-breathed scriptures, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and your love is made complete in us. So thank you for the Word that became flesh and made your dwelling among us. Even if we are unaware of it, your great faithfulness brings us new mercies every day. So help us to wisely and generously love one another as brothers and sisters, and not to forget to show hospitality to strangers. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear, so that whenever Christ is standing at the door and knocking, we welcome you to come in. Use our lives to be a blessing to strangers, acquaintances, loved ones, and to you. Yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen.